This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is it?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, Ronnie and I did a deal the last time, so that's great. He and I have a good friendship. We've known each other for a long time. He's got a great agent in Kim Miale. Never want to say 100%, but I feel good that we'll have a good, healthy debate, a good process. We're going to meet with Kim in Indy this week, and I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get a deal done.
Derek DaCosta, Ravens GM. That was last week in Indianapolis, of course, the NFL Combine. Talking about Ronnie Stanley, who made his second Pro Bowl appearance of his career. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Noel McGraw. Other side of the glass, and Ronnie hits free agency. First healthy season in quite some time. Coincidentally enough, his first healthy season, he made the Pro Bowl, just like he did prior to his injury in 2020. 30 years old. Big hole if he's gone at left tackle, we think. But we just heard EDC talking about it a week ago, Tuesday. They sound optimistic. Seems like he's got a great relationship with Ronnie's agent. So, no absolutes in life. But I'm kind of leaning optimistic here that old Ronnie Stanley's going to stick around for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, Bob. I mean, I don't know that you come out doing an interview feeling that, you know, if you weren't that confident, you know, not knowing what, you know, well, Ronnie wants to go to free agency, you know, maybe if Ronnie had told him that, you know, do we have an opportunity to get a deal done before? Yeah, and you know that Mioli, I think it sounds like with the agent, that he did his due diligence and found out what the market is for Ronnie, and they've got to get a deal done, and they've got to get a deal done soon. I mean, could they franchise him? That's tomorrow, so we'll know tomorrow. I would presume that they don't want to franchise him because then that's, like 24, 25 cap number.
Now, before we get back to the free agency, and Jeff's Rebeck, The Athletic, his prediction is, as he did it this morning, thank you, Jeff, at TheAthletic.com, he predicts Stanley stays.
Then, and I'm guessing that Eric's probably hearing that from the Ravens. So, I mean, they must be close to a deal. They're willing to pay. It sounds like they're willing to pay Ronnie, the Ravens. They're willing to step up to what the market is.
Now, if you're picking up fifth-year options, Kyle Hamilton, Tyler Linderbaum, for instance, those figures came out, too.
Yeah, and fifth-year option for Linderbaum's like $23 million. $23 million for Hamilton, it's 18. So, you know, I mean, there's talk with Linderbaum, you don't give him the 50-year option because you can franchise him and it's almost the same amount. And I don't know what type of relationship that they have with that agent either. But the thing about it is when you're these guys, like Ronnie Stanley. He's been in one place the whole time, and you win all the time. And you probably like the old line coach. Lamar protects me, mm-hmm. you know, from sacks. I want to go to New England and be on a if it's close, I'm staying. Even I'm going to stay in Baltimore for less money than go somewhere else where I'm going to get the crap beat out of me.
But if they're willing to, or they're going to have to eventually extend one of these first round picks from 2000.
Hamilton.
It's going to be Hamilton
yes.
first.
I would think so.
What do you think, Nolan? Linderbaum's an anchor. Same with Hamilton in perfect world. They're both around for a long time here, I would hope.
Oh, definitely. I think it'd be, you got to get one of them done this offseason. If I'm DaCosta, I would think that would be my goal. You got those two big fish, plus there's some other, you know, smaller guys that you'd maybe like to get ahead of the game with.
Travis Jones.
Yeah, guys like that stick out. But you know that you've got those two big fish that are going to command, you know, market resetting money at their position. Talk about it all the time with quarterbacks. The price only goes up year after year. So, look, besides Ronnie Stanley, no other pressing in-house free agents right now. Let's try to get something done with those guys.
I'm not saying that Linderbaum and Hamilton are going to have the historical significance of Ogden and Ray Lewis in 96. But that's kind of DaCosta's, that's his 96 draft,
yeah.
getting those two guys in the first round, and they reached that four. Well, they just signed Marcus Williams. What the hell they drafted a safety for? And they need a wide receiver. They just traded Hollywood Brown. Why are they taking Linderbaum? Well, that's why they pay Eric DaCosta the money to make these sorts of decisions.
And you know it'd be funny, Bob? Let's just say they got a deal done with Hamilton before the draft, and then they at 27 they take a safety. You know, I mean, which very easily could happen. But going back to Hamilton and Linderbaum, that's a situation where, you know, you work them both, and you may have a better relationship with one. You know, it may be easier to get a deal done. You work them both, and you try to get them both done. But if one is more willing, you go ahead and get it done.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Monday. All right, let's get back to the free agents. If Ronnie stays, and it appears as though, and Childs Walker even said it from the Baltimore Sun, he feels as though that momentum is heading in that direction. Patrick McCary, however, at 27, started every game. Looks like, you know, you can only afford to pay so many people, and he's going to be expendable, not based on performance, based on that always exciting salary cap in the National Football League.
That would be right player, right price, and probably priced out, I would think. And I agree with you, but if they get Ronnie Dan done, we're drafting. You know, we're going to draft a guy there. We can't afford to pay, because we're going to pay Linderbaum too, and can't afford to do that. And they could even take a guard or O-lineman at 27.
But Voorhees, where are we going with him? Andrew Voorhees started the year as the left guard, got hurt, and then, you know, was displaced because Patrick McCary was performing well at that spot. And I'm guessing undrafted or sixth round pick, USC, Voorhees still cheap labor for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely cheap. Bob, the thing at SC, what was he at SC? He was hurt a lot. Comes to the Ravens and he gets hurt. But then he's been healthy throughout. And I think, you know, they like how he plays. But if they were to take a guy in the first round, Bob, and they have Ronnie back, taking a left guard, I mean, it is what it is. You know, then they're telling us everything we need to know about Voorhees at that point.
All right, let's go alphabetically here. Nelson Aguilar, 31 years old, 14 for 231. Couple of touchdowns, 14 games, third receiver.
I'm moving on. I mean, that's, you know, Tez Walker. That is, you know, they think he's going to take a big jump, and that's what you went and drafted him for. What can he be a three? I think I'd rather have a more veteran guy there, my personal opinion, and have Tez be the four.
Yeah, Jeff Zrebeck thinks Nelson Aguilar has played his last snap.
I agree with that.
For the Baltimore Ravens, Chris Bourne, special teams dude, 29 years old, got a start that inside linebacker. He hits free agency. A versatile, maybe inexpensive piece for the Ravens. Yeah.
He was making 1.2, so he made the vet minimum. Takes that again. Right player, right price on that one. And, Bob, I mean, that's a guy. All right, do we wait till we see what we get in the draft? But the thing about Board is veteran guy, and he came in and helped you out and was able to step in and play and is a good special teamer. So is he a core guy? I don't know if he would be that on special teams, one of my core, if possible. You know, if he is, right player, right price. Will he be back? I don't really care one way or another.
All right, and real quick, and we'll get back to it, NFL lunch style, coming up at 1 o'clock. Ben Cleveland got popped with DUI, was hitting unrestricted free agency, career low 49 offensive snaps. And Vinny, you've been pretty low on his upside. So
I think Nolan has a better chance of making the Ravens than Ben Cleveland this year.
He has been doing push-ups. He did three this morning. So Ben Cleveland, in all likelihood, has played his last game for the Ravens. Back to that coming up at 1 o'clock, as we said, NFL lunch. When we return, however, let's count our dough. A little buy or sell. Talk about sports subjects, which are plentiful on this Monday. Andy Koska, Baltimore Banner, talk Orioles. He's live.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm from Florida.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Got a lot going on. World of sports. Orioles taking on the Red Sox. Felix Bautista makes his debut, 105. Give you the lineups in a couple of minutes. Terps win at Penn State. It's a win. That's all that matters. Now you go to Michigan on Wednesday. Try to get one in Ann Arbor. Legal tampering in the NFL starts a week from today at 12 o'clock. So a week from now, we'll be talking about free agent stuff in the National Football League.
Week from today, Bob, guys will be committing because all the tampering's been done.
Yeah, tag year is tomorrow in the NFL. We got tons to get into, and we will. Tank Davis got a gift in the eyes of a lot of people Saturday at Brooklyn in his fight against Lamont Roach. But let's count our money first. A little by yourself.
Yeah, we're not counting much. The Dow is down 57. S&P's down 6. NASDAQ is down 70. DraftKings up 9 cents. And Under Armour's up a penny.
All right, we'll start today in Major League Baseball, where Clay Holmes, a former Yankees reliever, closer at that, made the jump from the Yankees to the Mets this offseason, and a change of scenery is bringing a change in role. That's right, he's being stretched out to be a starter this year, and so far this spring, the results have actually been pretty good, even if he's only been limited to a few innings of work. Of course, the past 3 years with the Yankees, accumulated over 70 saves, had his really bright moments where he was looked at as one of the better closers in the game. Also, some shaky portions of that tenure, like the second half of last year. Buy or sell, Bob, Clay Holmes will be able to withstand the workload increase of roughly 80 to 100 innings this year.
80 to 100. If he's in the rotation, I'm guessing they want a little bit more. Like Sean,
well, I'm saying he was at 60, 80 to 100 more.
Okay. My bad. Yeah. I'll sell it. Because last thing I remember about Clay Holmes is he blasted old Kerstad upside the head with a fastball. Remember the All-Star break last year? The debate was who gets the All-Star nod, Kimbrel or Clay Holmes? Now both gone. Kimbrel right now out of baseball. I don't know. I'll see it. Nah, selling.
Go over to the NFL where the Raiders, they wanted Matthew Stafford, but are now going to have to pivot after it was announced last week that Stafford's re-signing with the Rams. All indications are, in the Raiders building right now, is that they're split. Split on what to do. Do they go with another veteran stopgap quarterback, or do they draft somebody? Well, they hold the number 6 overall pick, so the thought is that both Sanders and Ward will be gone by then, so their choices for an impact rookie, not as good as you would typically see with a top 10 pick. The others in the building that want a veteran presence like Stafford, they'll also admit that the choices take a steep drop-off now that Stafford isn't on the board. There isn't many attractive names out there after him. Buy or sell, Vinny, Vegas should do both. Sign both a veteran stopgap and draft a quarterback this spring.
I'm going to buy that. I think that's what they need to do because the veteran guy, unless they got Sam Darnold, but if they get Aaron Rodgers, he's 41 or 42 years old. And what's his shelf life? So that would give time. That would be the ideal situation because then you could take your young quarterback and let him develop for a year and let him learn how to play from Aaron Rodgers and go from there. But it sounds like, just listening to everything, Cam Ward's going. He is the top quarterback, much better than Shedeur Sanders is what they're saying.
But isn't Rodgers linked to the Giants here?
Mm-hmm. That they're interested. The Giants.
But I mean, why? Yeah. Why would you want to go to the Giants?
I mean, it worked so well for the Jets.
You got no O-line. You got a receiver. Your defense sucks.
Well, I think he knows he doesn't have as many suitors as he did.
Yeah. Coach on a hot seat, in all probability. Yeah. Right?
I mean, he might not have a choice. If there's only so many teams that are going to offer him a starting gig.
He better call Jake from State Farm, see if he can get some help there.
All right, we'll go back to baseball here. The Red Sox made a lot of flashy moves this offseason, but one of their biggest keys to potential success will actually be a returning member of that lineup. We're talking about Jaron Duran here. A monster campaign in 2024 featured him leading the league in both doubles and triples. Had about 20 homers as well, so good power across the board. Received all-star recognition, even some MVP votes when it was all said and done. But with just a few years under his belt, the question is, what's the real Jaron Duran? Was last year the real him or the start of the norm for him, or was it just a flash in the pan? Buy or sell, Bob, Duran won't exactly replicate those numbers, but will continue to outproduce other big names in that Boston lineup like Devers and Casas.
I'll buy that because he looks like a star on the rise for sure. And you talk about some of the statistical accomplishments that he had last year. So, yeah, I'm buying that. I think Boston's kind of sneaky. Watch out for them in the American League East. I think it's going to be the Orioles, Yankees, and Boston. Maybe, I don't know, Toronto. We'll do our predictions coming up later on in the month.
Well, the NFL here, the news of the weekend, the Commanders, they had both the cap space and resources to pull off the Deebo Samuel trade. They're going to pay him that high salary for the upcoming season. On the surface, you get another weapon for your young franchise quarterback. That's good. But what does this mean for that pre-existing connection between Daniels and Terry McLaurin? Well, let's look at the stats last year. 82 receptions was McLaurin's workload. The next closest guy on the team was Zach Ertz with 66. So quite the disparity there. essentially you're thinking McLaurin's going to see a dip in targets, maybe a dip in receptions as well, as only natural with another mouth to feed. But Vinny, buy or sell, McLaurin will actually be able to do more with less reps now that Debo is in the mix.
I'm going to buy that. Yeah, because, you know, he's not going to get all the attention all the time. And like you said, they got a Ertz is a free agent too, I think. And I would think that you'd want to run it back with him again because he was really the guy on third downs and stuff that Daniels looked for. So, yeah, and then draft a guy too, you know, if they have another young guy. And then take care of that. Probably with the draft, they're probably looking at O-line.
And we'll close up shop here with a little college basketball. Since announcing that they were going to part ways with Mike Woodson at the end of the season, Indiana's actually gone on a nice little run here. Wins over Michigan State and Purdue, they grabbed everyone's attention. But overall, they find themselves sitting at 9-9 now with two games left to play. Where are they in the March Madness mix? Well, for Joe Lunardi, he's got them as one of the last four in. They're on the 11 seed play-in line in the West, in his opinion. So thinking maybe need to collect one win, two wins in the conference tournament to actually feel safe here if you're the Hoosiers. My question is, what's changed? Same players, same coach, but they're finally clicking. Buy or sell, Bob, the Hoosiers would not be in this position if Woodson was still secure in his job.
So they're playing him out the door. I mean, it was their subpar play, disappointing play, that kind of got him death threats to the point where, you know, he announced his resignation mid-season, and we talked to Jerry Palm last hour, the vestiges of Bob Knight. He's one of the best players to ever play for Bob Knight when he was in Indiana, late 70s, early 80s. I'm going to sell that. Maybe they just finally got it together. Maybe he found the magic formula for the team they were ranked. The first warning sign was in one of those preseason tournaments when Louisville beat them by like 30 back in November, and Maryland beat them on the Rodney Rice jumper in one of the more entertaining games of the Terps season. Rick Pitino, by the way, thinks Chris Beard, who Jerry mentioned, should get that job. He's now at Ole Miss. Remember, he took Texas Tech to the Final Four. Then he got in trouble at Texas, him and his wife, off the court, and now got the old Rebels bouncing around here. So Chris Beard, who did have the Bobby Knight ties at Texas Tech, maybe he gets the job when it's all said and done. But, hey, now Indiana's one of these watch out for them in the Big Ten tournament kind of teams all of a sudden, playing the way that a lot of people thought they were supposed to play all along. When we come back, we'll talk some Orioles, give you the Baltimore and Boston lineup as they're taking on the Red Sox at 105. Felix Bautista makes his spring debut. Andy Koska, Baltimore Banner. Fun hours with Nolan McGraw. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. Get back to this NFL Ravens free agency in particular. Ben Cleveland, it looks like he's going to be gone. I would think that not a lot of people have a problem with that.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of teams are going to be that interested in him.
But what about Malik Harrison? He's a free agent. Has he earned enough? Has he built up enough street cred to stay around? But joining us now to talk about the Orioles, down in Sarasota today, 4-4, doesn't matter. But some impressive performances as we're less than a month away from opening day at Toronto from the Baltimore Banner. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Andy Koska. Andy, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, now Felix Bautista makes his spring debut today, scheduled to anyway, and we all know the circumstances. Premier reliever, all-star in 23, walked off the mound at Camden Yards, blown elbow back in August. Here he is, makes that debut. Give us an idea what Brandon Hyde's plans are, not just today, but moving forward with him in 2025. We'd all like to see the mountain of 2 years ago, but I'm guessing that's a real optimistic thing to look forward to right now.
That is optimistic. And right now, you know, we talked to Brandon Hyde this morning, and Brandon Hyde said that, you know, he just wants to see him today, Bautista, walk off the mound healthy. That's all he cares about today. Moving forward, if Bautista gets close to what he was in 23, great. But really the first half of this season, expect Bautista to be featured less frequently than he was for most of the time. You know, in 2023, I think the great thing about Bautista in 2023 was that he could pitch multiple innings. He could pitch back-to-back days. Brandon Hyde said he expects that Bautista will not be back-to-back days and will not be featured in multiple innings for at least the first half. So that means you're going to need other relief pitchers to step into closing roles when Bautista is not available. That could be Andrew Kittredge. Gregory Soto was a name that Hyde brought up, said he's been throwing great. Sir Anthony Dominguez is another option. Yennier Cano. So there's multiple late inning guys that they could turn to. We'll see what that looks like. But today, truly, for Bautista, all that really matters is that he gets his legs under him a little bit, gets back on the horse, and walks off the mound healthy.
Now, Cade Povich has been healthy, and his performance has been really healthy, dominated the Pirates on Saturday afternoon. It doesn't appear as though right now, Andy, there isn't room for him in the rotation. Do we assume that he's going to be a starter? Could he maybe squeeze himself into a bullpen role? Or is the plan for the Orioles to have Cade Povich, whenever need be, take the ball, starting a game, and hopefully pitch deep into it?
Yeah, I find it incredibly hard to believe that they would move Cade Povich into a relief role out of the bullpen in any way. I imagine that he's kind of the odd man out purely because he's the only guy that does not have, or that does have minor league options. Obviously Grayson does, but Grayson is entrenched in this rotation. So it's working against Cade at this very moment, even though he's pitching really well to begin camp and pitched well in September last year, 2.60 ERA across five starts in September last year. So if he can continue that and pitch well to begin the season in AAA, I would be shocked if we don't see him up fairly frequently, or at least early in the season. I wouldn't be shocked either if they go with a six-man rotation at some point. Not the first month of the season, just because of how many off days are built in because of, you know, potential for rain. I imagine Cade will probably start in AAA, get called up second month of the season. But there's also a possibility, and you know, it's always quick to point out that, you know, there could be performance-related issues for another pitcher. Maybe there's an injury. A million things can happen between now and opening day. That means Cade Povich is on the opening day roster in the rotation. I just don't see it as a bullpen guy. Perhaps, you know, there's maybe Cade pitches so well this spring that they bump Dean Kramer to a bullpen role. But again, Dean has pitched well in camp too. So they have a surplus of options right now. They have good depth in their starting rotation, and I wouldn't be shocked to see Cade Povich in a pretty big role. Maybe he'd have to wait a month, but I imagine he will be in the majors pretty soon.
Andy Koska, Baltimore Banner, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking Orioles, taking on the Red Sox, coming up at 105. Enrique Bradfield, Judd Fabian, Dylan Beavers, among others, sent back to minor league camp of these young outfield prospect types. Who was the most impressive based on their short stay here in Sarasota?
I was pretty impressed with Enrique Bradfield, purely from a defensive standpoint. That you see the speed in the outfield. His routes look pretty good in center field. Maybe he could be center fielder of the future. I mean, there's a lot of question marks around Cedric Mullins. This is Cedric Mullins' last season before he becomes a free agent. So who knows what that might look like if maybe Colton Cowser is a center fielder of the future, but he might remain in a corner outfield spot. Bradfield could be that guy. Maybe it's somebody else entirely. They go out and get somebody, or they extend Mullins. You never know exactly what might occur. But just from, you know, short sample, Bradfield looked good. And he is working on bunting, which is going to be a really important skill for him this, you know, in his career, because power is not really where he is going to thrive. He did hit a home run in camp, but that is not going to be his bread and butter, nor does it really need to be. He's a leadoff type. Number nine hitter type, either or, you know, kind of a get on base, steal a bag, and then be on base to get driven in by the heavy hitters behind you. So he looked impressive. I, you know, imagine that he's going to get an opportunity at some point, not this year, I don't believe, unless there's major injuries in this outfield, just with the glut of outfielders they have for the opening day roster. Could be five on that opening day roster, plus Dylan Carlson in the minors potentially, because he does have minor league options. So Bradfield looks good. Maybe he's a year away, 2026, for a debut, but definitely gave a good impression.
Andy, how would you assess the spring of Kobe Mayo so far.
Yeah, it's going to be a big camp for him, even if he does really well. The sad fact of the matter is I don't know if he will break camp with the team just because of how, he's kind of blocked elsewhere. What I think is important for him is to show a capability to play first base, and he's been doing that. We know he can play third. There are some reservations around the idea, of his arm at third base. I think his arm is fine, but it can be, he has a big arm. It can be a little bit sporadic at times, which is a major concern. At first base, obviously he's not going to be throwing as much, so that he could be a fit there long-term. Let's pretend, if Mountcastle is part of a trade deal at some point, Cody Mayo as a right-handed hitter could be a fantastic platoon first baseman. We'll see. We'll see what it looks like, but don't count him out as a third baseman. Also, don't count him out as a centerpiece in a trade. Obviously, there a lot of teams would be interested in a guy of his pedigree, but he's looked fine. Hasn't played all that much yet. There's only been a handful of games for him, but has been hitting the ball hard. I know it. Purely the box score, he hasn't been getting hits, but a lot of his hard hit balls are right at guys right now, which is just kind of the way it goes sometimes in baseball, but we'll see how it all plays out. But I definitely think if he can prove that first base is a viable position for him, that just helps his flexibility and helps getting him in the lineup at the major league level at some point.
Now on Saturday, Holliday's at bats, he got the single, and then, the next at bat, he moved the runners up, which I thought was good. And then they got him stealing quite often. Every time he gets on, it looks like Hyder's got him stealing. How's his defense looking?
Yeah, his defense is looking really solid. He's working with Brian Roberts. Roberts left camp, but he was a guest coach. Obviously, you know how good Brian Roberts was at second base, both stealing and defensively. So I think Holliday's really putting everything together. He looks bigger, obviously, than he did last year. He put on some muscle, ate a lot of ground beef this offseason. And, we'll see what it all looks like when games actually matter. But I've been really impressed. Obviously, the two-run homer he hit a couple of days ago was impressive. But the thing that impressed me most was yesterday against Christopher Sanchez, a left-handed pitcher from the Red Sox, who was an all-star last year. Holliday's in a two-strike count. He's able to take two sliders on the outside edge for balls, fouls off a sinker up that he's going to want back, gets a changeup on the inside corner of the plate, and he's able to barrel it up for 102.5 mile per hour line drive into right field. And then immediately steal second. I mean, that's exactly what you want from him. He has the pedigree, with his dad that you expect him to take that major league jump. We saw it at the end of last year that he looked more comfortable, and we're seeing him in camp. He looks a lot more comfortable even compared to the end of last season. So I expect him to be a pretty good hitter this year. Defensively, looks solid, and if he swipes a couple bases too, even better.
Andy Koska, Baltimore Banner. Andy, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the game today, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, guys.
There's Andy Koska, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, fun house trip, Nolan McGraw, NFL lunch. Coming up, 1 o'clock, give you those Oriole and Red Sox lineups. Game comes up at 1:05. Then Chris Boombacha, USA Today, talks of NFL with him. Aaron Rodgers, well, he's done in New York, or is he? What are the Raiders going to do at quarterback? Because Matt Stafford got a brand new fancy extension. Tyler O'Neill, left field. Ron O'Hearn, right field. Mounties at first. First edge, DH, Ramon Arias, third base. Vimael Amashin is at second base. Luis Vasquez, shortstop. Charlie Morton will start for the Orioles. We just talked about this. Andy Koska going to get to see Felix Bautista for the first time since August of 23. Tomoyuki Sugano will also throw today. Nolan, let me ask you this before we get to the fun house. March 27th, opening day. Orioles are up by two. Bottom of the ninth. Who's getting that safe?
Oh, you know.
It's the mountain?
It's the mountain. Of course. Assuming, hey, the only situation it wouldn't be is if he suffered some sort of setback, and nobody wants that. So, I mean, if he's healthy, he's the guy.
Well, he won't be pitching on that Friday or that Saturday, it sounds like, anytime soon as well. And the multiple out saves, like four-plus, doesn't appear to be part of the reality, if it happens at all, till the second half of the season. But Felix Bautista, he's on the hill. The Orioles will be on the tube coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll keep you up to date on the score in the final hour of our show. NFL Lunch coming up 1 o'clock. Talk more about the Ravens 18 unrestricted free agents. Chris Boombacha, talk NFL with him from the USA Today. Now that the combine is over, it's all about tag day, and then it's all about legal tampering a week from today. And then the league year starts March 12th, then the draft, then the schedule, then rookie camp, then OTAs, then mini camp, and then the preseason, and everything that goes along with it. Nolan, we couldn't get to it last hour. Let's not deprive our audience anymore of your funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here says, I just don't see Ronnie Stanley back with the Ravens. I believe DaCosta and Harbaugh when they express their interest in keeping him, but those combine comments just feel like generic coach and GM speak to me. There's just no way he hasn't priced himself out of town.
That didn't sound like coach and GM speak to me. That sounded like very confident that they would get a deal done. I mean, coach GM would be more generic. This was not generic at all. This was like you felt like a deal was imminent.
One on the Orioles here says, thank God the Orioles are on TV today. We all deserve to see Bautista in real game action once again. You know he's going to be a little extra ramped up as well. Interested to see where his velocity is at.
Yeah, well, I don't see triple digits, but if he's hitting mid-90s, I'm cool with that, ramping him up. I mean, it's his first game action since August of 2023. Oh, by the way, turn the volume down on the TV and keep it tuned to the fan. We'll keep you up to date on the score. Just a bit outside. I'll go euchre on you.
Needless to say, that velocity, extremely important to him. I mean, it's important to any pitcher, but a two-pitch reliever, I mean, there's less wiggle room when you lose that one big part of your skill set.
And he's throwing that triple digits for strikes, mm-hmm. too, which right. he tends to do. And, I mean, as big as he is, it's like the ball's coming right out of you. You have zero time to get ready for that pitch. I'm interested in seeing Ol Cigano pitch today, mm-hmm. too. See kind of craftiness he's bringing to the equation.
Another one here on the O's says, glad to see the Masson dispute end, although I never thought I would live to see the day. At the time, it was a hastily made decision. I guess okay, but in the long run, no real groundwork to prevent what did end up happening. Just very disappointing that it got to that point.
Yeah, and it cost Baltimore an all-star game, I'm sure. I mean, Major League Baseball's denied all along. But the one thing, again, I'll guarantee, out of this whole thing being settled, expect Baltimore to get announced as the host city for the all-star game here within the next 5 years. Because they should have had it. It's the crown jewel stadium, right, baseball? And we're getting boned because of a legal issue? Let's go, man.
Yeah. There had to be something at play because, you know, baseball wants to recreate the warehouse moment with the home run derby. They're dying to have another player hit the
warehouse. And then Messina warming up in the bullpen against the wishes of Cito Gaston, which led to that drama. I mean, that was a drama-filled day in the Charm City.
And we'll close with this here, maybe a little teaser for NFL Lunch. This texter says, say what you will about the Giants and Aaron Rodgers, but I think he could definitely get 25-plus touchdowns with them, also get the most out of a young receiver in Malik Nabers. Either way, ayahuasca-infused Rodgers is better than anything else they could get.
I'll buy it. I would agree with that. You know, I mean, they actually... The problem with Rodgers is going to be to go to the Giants is his mobility, and their offensive line is not good. They would almost be better off with like Justin Fields or something.
Looks like the next two All-Star games this year is in Atlanta, next year's in Philly.
Okay.
All right. Well, now the 96 All-Star game is at the Vet. And the Orioles were what, 93? You picking up what I'm putting down here? I think it's time. Break out the crab cakes. and the spicy shrimp and mussels, and let's bring that thing back home. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens, 18 unrestricted free agents. We think Ronnie Stanley staying around.
Yep.
Ben Cleveland, bye-bye.
Oh, adios.
Patrick McCary, probably bye. Same with Nelson Aguilar. Who's next on the agenda? Stick around. We'll talk about that. Chris Boombacher, we'll talk some NFL with him at 1:30. USA Today. Week from today, legal tampering begins. Who are the big fish out there looking for new ponds?